Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic book shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Spandex makes me horny. Drag is the new spandex.
Hey, listeners, welcome to another episode of Drag is the New Spandex. We're doing these. We are on time. It is happening. I'm your host, Oral. With us, we have our illustrious producer and co-host. Yes, co-host, Pat. Hi, Pat.
What's going on?
Hi. How's your week been?
It's been good. And yours?
Good. Railroaded. Railroaded.
That's the word of the day.
So we are here to obviously talk about the episode we have all been waiting for since episode one of Drag Race, All-Star Season 2.
Since RuPaul popped up on that screen and told people about Revanche.
Yeah. So this was the Revanche episode where... you know, this entire time, these queens think, you know, we're so close to making it to the end. We've put all these people out. And what happens?
They all come back. Minus Adore. She left and stayed left.
And she's like, nope, I'm done.
But the good thing is that we pick up right from where we left off. So,
which is great because that tension has been building and you don't want to miss a second of it.
Exactly. We get that nice ending from the previous episode where, bam, they're all behind the mirror just watching them, and then they come on out, or that, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen next. Obviously, you know, it's going to be tension-filled and drama-filled, and the four eliminated queens all come sauntering back into the workroom with their shitty attempts at a two-in-one. No, they were cute outfits.
I like Tatiana's two-in-one. That was
and
fun.
Ginger's was fine. Mm-hmm. I just think that had they stayed in the competition up to that point, they would have been sorely like, I hope that they had a better two-in-one outfit prepared.
I think they did.
I'm sure. They were like, here's this dress. And bam. Like, they're cute going out dresses, but they weren't competition worthy.
Mm-hmm.
But they made their entrance and they came back in to have a discussion.
Mm-hmm. And so did Alyssa Edwards coming in with, and you know, when you see her dress and like not the glamorous lighting of the runway, it looked like she was just walking around with a bunch of hefty bags.
It looked like she was supposed to be on the streets of New York City trying to sell some cameras. These are fanning cameras.
Oh my gosh. So
ooh, apparently a storm is about to roll through up in this bitch. Mm-hmm. Even the powers that be upstairs know the drama's about to start. They gave us a little thunderclap.
You know what the Fates just said? Railroaded.
They knew what the deal was.
Okay, so
they talk about, they go into a bit of back and forth. You know, we're not gonna rehash every little detail because you really should. If there's one episode this season that you should seek out, find it on your on demand, on your app, whatever the case is. And I know, like for us, we don't get logo at the house, so luckily I was able to watch it at the bar at our viewing party, even though
Logo decided
not until 7:57 to come on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that was sitting there was like, "Ooh, girl, we not gonna be able to watch this episode. We all waiting with bated breath."
And you know, like the queens who got there early were waiting.
Oh, they knew.
Ooh. And some of them had drinks in their hands, and I'm like, they gonna pitch. They gonna throw their drinks at her. I mean, they'll throw the ice. They throw the ice of what's left because, you know, drinks are... Side note, this is completely off topic. So, you know, I used my $25 gift certificate when I won the raffle, right?
Yeah.
Do you know I still racked up a $30 tab?
Well, you were enjoying yourself.
I was enjoying myself.
And some cocktails.
And some cocktails. And you know what? I was super proud because I didn't even mercilessly flirt with anybody. I kept it to myself.
You did your job.
I did my job.
There you go.
But yeah, so from what we did see, though.
Yes.
Ginger was laying in because she got sent home. She shouldn't have been sent home. And we have who? The good old Mr. Ed defending her principles, her shaky, shaky principles.
But then after Ginger lays in, because, you know, Alyssa and Phoebe have their moment, and then Ginger chimes in, and then Ginger turns around, because Katya's like, oh, I was, you know, it was a rough night, I was prepared to go home. And then after all of this hubbub from Ginger, Katya's like, I wouldn't have let you go home. What?
Uh-huh.
And you get all the head turns, because you know they panned in a couple of queens in the room, like, what? What? I can't do detoxes. What? Yeah, it seemed weird.
Because, you know, you have accomplished so much. You have stabbed your sisters in the back to get where you are. And, you know, eventually, once everything's said and done, you're going to have to make your rounds. You're going to have to hash it out. Some relationships will never, you know, be what they once were. But to have that thrown right back in your face sooner than anticipated, they got blindsided.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So they have their moment. It cuts to a new day in the workroom. Oddly, nobody got a talking head moment that said, it's a new day in the workroom. That they've done in every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. It was so weird. I was like, everything was so thrown off with them doing the segment after the elimination the night, you know, on the episode before, and then going into this one. It just, everything seemed so weird, but awesome at the same time. And they kind of don't know what the deal is because they've really just been told, all right, you're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So Mama Ru walks into the room and lays it out for them.
Which is, eliminated queens are going to have to work in teams of two.
Yes.
And the top two queens will lip sync for $10,000 and the right to give one of the bottom queens the chop.
The chop.
Right?
Chop, chop, chop.
Chop, chop, chop. And the challenge is comedy. So for some queens, this is like just a bailiwick. They just got to show up. Do what they normally do, collect that check, walk to the side, see who gets to go home.
Exactly. It really was set up for certain queens to highly excel.
Which is funny because the duo that I thought would be the strongest were good, which were, for me, Katya and Ginger.
Well, before we talk about their performance,
let's back it up,
roll it right back in. Because not only are we working in pairs of two, mm-hmm. but the eliminated queens get to choose their partner.
True.
So that way, because it's their opportunity to come back in the competition, I think Rue wanted to give them that advantage to be like, hey, if you pick a bad partner and you suck, that shit's on you.
Sorry about you.
But they do it in reverse order, which I think is kind of a good thing because the last person eliminated has done the most in the competition so far.
Yeah.
So Alyssa goes first. So if Alyssa makes it back into the competition, she doesn't really skip a beat. Mm-hmm. She's been there this whole time. She just got eliminated and is now back in this next episode. Where somebody like Coco, who went home after the first challenge, has not done all these other things, which, needless, if she makes it back in, okay, cool, good for you. You got back into the competition, mm-hmm. but it gives that little bit of an advantage to somebody who has had to do so much more.
Which, you know, I didn't realize that at the time, but that makes total sense.
Yeah.
And I like that. So the teams were Alyssa and Alaska. We had Ginger and Katya, Tatiana and Detox, Coco and Phoebe, and then Roxy.
Roxy, just the lone man standing at the bus stop. Just waiting for a bus home.
We'll get into Roxy later.
But the good thing about Roxy being on her own is that if she were to win, then not only does she get the $10,000, but she also gets to choose which of the eliminated queens she would want to return to the competition.
Yep, which is super cool.
So it would definitely be a little bit of an advantage for her to be able to win. Spoiler alert, not going to happen. Anyway, so yeah, so we get a little bit more tension in the workroom because, you know, this episode just would not be hogged by Logo because this episode was not shown on VH1. The bastards. They really were just trying to get all that Logo ratings.
Yeah, which is, you know, and let's pause for a second. It's all Viacom.
Yeah.
And why, and simulcasting it on two networks makes total sense, especially because VH1, you have a little more flexibility.
Yeah.
It can be a little more experimental, and I thought that was a good fit for it.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I agree.
But then to snatch it from VH1 when not everyone has Logo.
Well, and that's the thing, and that's what makes me upset, is that you have companies like UVerse who've now moved Logo to a higher tier where we got out of that higher tier because we don't use all those extra channels, mm-hmm. and we're paying more money for shit we're not watching.
Yeah.
And then they take a channel like that, which we don't even get HD. It's one lone standard definition channel. And you take that shit away from us, and then Logo, which, as you said, is Viacom, which owns MTV, owns VH1, owns Logo. It's all the same damn company.
Yeah.
You would think that they would know that these things are happening and these things are changing, and they would want more people to be able to watch it,
mm-hmm.
not have to seek it out, not have to possibly pirate the show, you know, which happens.
Which,
it does.
Which happens. And for something that used to be like just basic cable,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't make sense to me.
No,
because,
not
you know, I watch Logo. I don't watch it religiously.
Yeah.
But I enjoy having it. Yeah. And when you don't, and I gotta jump through hoops and use No Offense Logo, like I said, I just saying your praises, but your app is shitty and you know it's shitty. You should be ashamed. Shame. But digress.
All right. So back to the episode itself. We have the workroom drama, and obviously Coco and Fifi are working together. And it's Coco's like, I want nothing of being in the middle of this because, you know, we don't need Coco and Alyssa part two.
No.
Nobody does. Nobody cared the first time around.
No. No, we didn't.
It was their own beef that they dealt with. And I think maybe the pageant community who knew more of the backstory mm-hmm. of the Miss America, the whole issue, maybe they really cared about the drama. For us, it didn't really matter all that much. But Fifi and Alyssa talk, and it's a lot of just back and forth about this is my feeling, this is what I said. Oh no, but I didn't say this way. Blah blah blah. It really just kind of seemed like they were talking to a wall, each mm-hmm. of them.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like it was great television necessarily, because it just
I would agree.
It was just there was drama with no drama.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they were just told, okay, go have this conversation, and they each just basically talked at each other, and then at the end of it we're like, all right, we're past this, let's hug it out
and bury the hatchet back in
your
other's
back. Yeah, it just, and even they cut to the Coco talking head moment where she said that hug didn't even, like, she pointed out that it didn't even seem like it was worth anything. So we go to the rehearsal stage because, you know, it's not an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race if we don't see people fucking up before the challenge begins.
Yeah, and this is where I think there was a lot of heavy editing, because we saw a lot of people stumble and a lot of jokes fall flat because you have, you know, only two coaches.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you don't hit their version of funny, it just comes across as a dud.
And apparently you can just say boo to RuPaul and she's keeling over, slapping the desk, because that's the most, you know, we see that the most from RuPaul during these comedy challenges. Except yeah. for when Roxy's up there. Sorry. I'm not even talking about this challenge. I'm going back to the roast of RuPaul from season 5. She's just not funny.
You know, it's... So, Detox came up with a joke. And their whole routine was more blue than Tatiana was used to.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing because, you know, what's going to save Tatiana and like have her stand out, she has to step outside of her comfort zone.
Exactly.
And so you have all these jokes and they don't seem to be working. And then we're just going to fast forward and jump back. But then they killed.
Oh, yeah.
They killed. And it goes to show you, I'm like, the editing for this episode was just, it was harsh.
Oh, for
it
sure.
It was harsh.
Whenever they do these kinds of like comedy challenges or any like quote unquote live audience things, they can edit in laughter. They can, there's a, editing can do a wonder on what a segment looks like.
Agreed.
And we're not going to go, we're not going to get back into that. The editing commentary, because that's had a lot of discussion, let's say, on social media and opinion pieces with the whole Phoebe thing. And we touched on that last week.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to these things, I mean, just to fast forward to the end of the entire main challenge, they cut to Porkchop just sitting there stone-faced. Do you think that she laughed once? Maybe she was just, maybe that was her before the challenge.
Exactly.
You never know when that one piece of footage was recorded that they then cut to and put into that spot. So, yeah, like it's really kind of tough to see how everything played out. But even, like, when Tatiana and Detox were doing their rehearsal, I thought it was funny. Like, their timing, the way everything was. And then you've got Ross and the other woman whose name is escaping me right now. And they just kind of seemed like, oh. And because it was blue humor, it was very crass.
Mm-hmm.
And you got one feel of it from that rehearsal piece. And then they come out and they blew it out of the water. They, by far, deserve to win.
Yeah.
Above and beyond everybody else. Like, I didn't love any of the other acts. I didn't love them.
See, Coco and Fifi, it was fine. It wasn't polished. Like, Coco doesn't have... Well, Coco has a sort of comedic timing, but you kind of have to... How can I put this? It's like Give Me a Break with Nell Carter. Like, it's good, but it has to be your demographic. I don't think that, like, she was able to have that, like, wide appeal. I think Fifi was fine. I think she did better than Coco. And then on the flip side of that, like, Ginger and Katya, they were fine. They were good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't... It
felt very hack-jokey kind of thing, though.
Yeah.
There was no refinement, no nuance to Katya and Ginger's act.
Yeah, and you know what's, it's funny because when you look at them separately, those jokes land because they're intrinsically funny and yeah. They've worked at it together, even though, you know what it is? It's the best friends sort of scenario
mm-hmm.
where you're with your best friends and you're cracking each other up and you're kikiing because you have all of these shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're doing a duo act, nobody has that shorthand.
To an audience that is not your, to an audience of people who don't know you or in, you know, the character in this case.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also the fact that Coco and Fifi play up better solo.
Yes.
Like when Coco did her thing at the roast in her season, it was that one person, she could just do these jokes, have this character, and that was it. When you pair her and Fifi, who also don't have a huge chemistry together.
No.
But it was either Coco pick Fifi or picks Roxy. And obviously, for what we're seeing a year later, that anger and resentment and bitterness was underneath and festering even then.
Yeah.
Which is why she didn't pick Roxy.
Exactly.
Because she knows Roxy. She probably could have done a better job with Roxy,
mm-hmm.
but wasn't going to pick Roxy.
Wasn't going to. And, you know... And sometimes that happens. You just, if you know you don't have chemistry with the person, if you know it's like volatile alchemy, it's time to go.
Exactly.
It's And which is what makes this so difficult, because you know, they go into the workroom, they're having, like, Alyssa and Fifi have it out, they don't hit common ground, and so they just kind of like hug and part ways, which is funny because you agree, it's kind of like they agreed to disagree, but not really. It was just like, we've reached a mutual understanding.
It's agreeing to disagree in name only.
Exactly.
Without actually having that feeling of, all right, I get where you're coming from. I don't agree with it, but I can respect what you are saying or what you're doing. This is really just, all right, agree to disagree. And then walking away from it, like that's going to really solve anything.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to the main stage,
the main stage for the runway, or?
Well, the main stage for the, we've touched on the comedy challenge, yeah, which was the main, was the runway,
mm-hmm,
in this entire situation, because as they've done in past comedy challenges or live challenges, you don't walk the runway. You come out and you do your act, and that is your look. So you're coming, yeah, dressed to impress and potentially in character, mm-hmm, like Fifi was with the shenanigans nails and the pregnant and the belly and all of that kind of stuff, which was weird, but I guess worked for her character of being that, mm-hmm, ghetto chola that's
getting tips from someone who obviously may have turned some tricks in their life.
Exactly. But Rue comes out, and my favorite part was watching it. She came out in an oil slick kimono. It was like she went to Detox's closet and borrowed a piece from her wardrobe.
Yeah.
It was pretty. But again, mm-hmm, it's that funky, like, iridescent color, which looked really good on her.
I noticed, specifically this episode, her wig line was seamless. Like, you couldn't tell nothing. And I stared. And I was just like, girl, your hair team did wonders today.
Matthew Anderson is a makeup and hair god.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why,
mm-hmm,
do you think she don't do drag unless Matthew Anderson is around?
No. Let's
and charges an arm and a leg, because I'm sure Matthew Anderson charges an arm and a leg to make her look, yep, that good.
I'm going to start with the worst act, because we've touched on it. Roxy Andrews.
Oh.
Who, you know, and I've done stand-up before. Not much. You get this adrenaline rush. And when you're up there, you know, you have your wits. You cannot trip over your words, which is something that, you know, listeners, you've heard me do it dozens of times, especially when I'm drinking. Like, there comes a certain time where you have to enunciate. Because the second you trip over your words, you kill that joke. You murdered it.
Yep.
And Roxy has that issue, which, you know, it's, you know, people have speech impediments, and I don't think it's that. It's just, you know, that sort of, I got to get this joke out, and she trips. And in her opening stuff, especially when you're being the MC, you have to be funny. You're consistently funny because you were up there multiple times, which gives you more time to shine, but it also gives you more rope to hang yourself with. And there are sometimes, I call it eating brick sandwiches, where you literally just, you're up there and you're dying, and you might as well be like making brick sandwiches to chip away at your teeth because it's that painful.
Oh yeah, and she had all the rope in every Home Depot and Lowe's.
Don't forget Scotty's.
Scotty's, Ace Hardware, and every mom and pop hardware store had all put together.
Don't forget the Olsen's Mercantile. And then what almost saved her was her bringing back Tasha Salad,
mm-hmm,
which is like this Annie-esque drag queen who does vegetable-related, like, puns and jokes.
It's from her season, the Barnyard Bills, whatever, like that. Mm-hmm. The kids show challenge from season 5.
Yeah, which worked for one segment, but she brought her back out, and she lisped over her own lisp.
Pretty much.
And And Max and I'm just like, you got to go home.
Yeah.
You got to go home because while Coco and Fifi weren't always funny, they were funnier than you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't mean to say that with such venom and vehemence, but it's true. Like, when I'm not funny, I know I'm not funny. Like, and I'm not saying that she's a comedy queen, but she has those skills and abilities. And she's been hilarious. And she fell flat.
She fell flat. She had her couple of shiny moments, but they were absolutely eclipsed by all the rest of the jokes that did not connect. The one she stumbled over, and she cracked herself up, which is like the first rule of comedy is you don't laugh at your own jokes.
Nope.
You know, if you got to suppress a chuckle here and there, sure. If you give like a side like guffaw while you're telling a story, like, you know, yeah, then that's one thing. But when you are like just bent over, like slapping your knee laughing, that's a problem. That's not right. It's not good.
But I will say who was funny, but it's still more of the same person, is Alyssa and Alaska.
Which I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get this version of Alyssa. And that's fine. That's my deal. And that's I've seen so many people heap praise upon praise upon praise on Alyssa. And that's awesome. I'm not saying she's not a good queen. I don't understand the stuttering line. Like when I gotta get in this all-star gig. Like, I don't understand where this is coming from. Maybe it's a thing from her show. Maybe it's something from, maybe there's something her fandom gets that I don't, but I don't understand. Like, it doesn't ring as funny to me. The whole beast. Even when she explained it, like, you could be a Gila monster or a beast. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. No, like,
I don't get it.
and for me, the best part of that duo wasn't Alyssa, it was Alaska, because, you know, she has been, I'm settling in on Alaska winning it this season. Because she's been so versatile with all of her portrayals. She's constantly switching it up. Her to give this sort of like laudanum, like looted up sort of straight man to Alyssa's like barnyard bespectacle like madness, it works. It works very well. And Alyssa was funny in it. Was it good enough to win? I don't particularly think so.
No.
But I mean, so be it.
It is what it is. And I mean, I think when it comes down to it, if you had to pick a second team to win, because obviously you need two people to lip sync to have this work, I because of Alaska, I definitely see that team being the one to be the second place winner.
Yeah.
You know, Katya and Ginger were fine, but like I said, I felt it was very hacky and very unrefined for people who can be extremely funny on their own. And maybe the stress of the competition does, you start to think a lot about what you're trying to do. That's what it was.
And you know, I think what if they had, because they were themselves, but I feel like if they were like an old school vaudeville team where, you know, she was this alluring person from, you know, she was Anastasia. If she was Anastasia, and, you know, Ginger was Gypsy Rose Lee, like just something different that they could have sunk their teeth into.
Yeah.
I think them being different and them like still being funny, I think they would have shown, but that's not what happened.
You need to caricature the whole thing, which was what Detox and Tatiana did with their kind of socialite aesthetic and feel and doing these really crass, you know, the alliterative jokes, which... Mm-hmm. I never realized how funny alliteration can be.
It can be really
when
hilarious.
Done right. And they did it perfectly.
And that's the thing. You can't get caught up and tongue twisters.
Exactly.
It's because if you fuck, like you said, like I said earlier, if you fuck it up, even like if you slip up a part of a word,
you've
killed your Joe.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny. It was smart. Tatiana really just kind of like made fun of like her aesthetic as opposed to just herself, which was super neat.
Yeah.
And I can see why it pushed her to where it was. So getting to that, you know, to the judges' critiques, they liked some things, they didn't like others.
And it was very mundane critiques this mm-hmm. time around, which is kind of why we sit here and go, yeah, they liked some, they didn't like some.
Exactly.
It just really was kind of very, the harshest critiques were for Roxy and for Coco and Fifi,
mm-hmm.
which is why they were in the bottom two. And bottom two. We only had the two of them. It was just because Katya was safe.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Katya was deemed safe, so Ginger was automatically out. Alyssa and Alaska and Detox and Tatiana were the two winning teams.
Yeah.
So it automatically put Roxy and Fifi in the bottom two and eliminated Coco.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the standings. They go back for deliberations. And it seemed very mundane at first. Roxy sitting there and just saying, you know, I don't feel like I need to state my case. I trust your judgment. You're going to do what you feel is, you're going to pick who you think deserves to go home. And she says that to Alyssa and to Tatiana. And Vivi agrees. And then this is where it gets a little weird. Alyssa turns and not even talking to the rest of the girls, but is straight up facing away from everybody and talking about, oh, if it were me, I'd be begging for my life for that $100,000 and all. And Fifi takes the bait. It was a baited statement. And she turns around and says, well, the type of person that I am, I'm not going to beg to stay for the money. And it leads into these talking head segments where they're all just jumping on her. That's just pure ego talking.
No.
You guys just had this conversation that said that we believe that you're going to pick the right person and you're going to make the right decision. And Roxy started the conversation off saying that she wasn't going to do this. But then they still lead into these one-on-ones that are just awkward.
And they're super awkward. And you know, when it's a situation like this, you shouldn't have to beg.
No.
Your work should stand for itself. But you're supposed to, like, kowtow to this person this week, knowing next week the dynamics could change. Or this person who has so much sway over you is once again your enemy. Or better yet, they knife you in the back. Why should I beg for something that I think I deserve anyway? And that may be ego talking, but I don't think it was done in a malicious sort of way. It's just like nobody should debase themselves like a junkie looking for a fix. You know, please, if you send me away, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. This is all no.
Because there's, in recent seasons, it feels like there's always been that person, you know, and I don't think that's a reason to have to keep somebody around. And it's done in all reality competitions.
No.
It's not just this one, you know, watching Next Great Cake Baker, watching Chopped, and you have all these sad stories about
all of them.
If I don't win this, I'm gonna have to go back to stripping to make a living for me and my daughter.
Because what would you do if your son was at home crying all alone on the bedroom floor because he's hungry?
And the only way to feed him is to sleep with a man for a little bit of money. I'm so glad you went there. But the sad part is that was an actual, that's from the Next Great Cake Boss, Next Great Baker. That's a damn show. But that was one of the contestants. She wasn't making ends meet and went back to a life of exotic dancing to support her and her daughter. And it came up multiple times. And I'm like, honey, if you're not good enough, you should not be. If you're not good enough, you should not be basing everything you have on winning a reality show competition. You have a 1 in 13 chance of winning $100,000.
Which is good.
But still, like, it's not, you should never have, like, it should never be a point where that's the only thing keeping you going and living right now. And if that's the case, then what are you doing away for 13 weeks while you're trying to film this show?
You know,
what's your daughter doing?
It's crowd all over the river. It's funny because I have a friend who watches The Voice. He watches all of these like reality shows. And the ones he got me hooked on is like, if I'm there, I'll watch The Voice with him because I like seeing people turn around like blind.
Yeah.
But each and every person who gets up there has a story.
They turn around and they can't see?
Yeah.
Adam Levine loses his sight when he turns around.
So like, you know, like this person's like dad died, or you know, this person's going blind, and you know, like, and I'm not trivializing any of these people, but like, you know, you're there for talent. I want singing voices. The rest can come later.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, that's what we're here for. So.
Well, because that's what makes ratings. And if this person is you know, is losing their sight, and it's their last chance to make a go of it, and nobody turns around, then they have that soul-crushing ratings moment.
Yep.
You know, and I've watched a couple of two auditions.
They do.
There was two. There was the gay former like youth country singer Billy Gilman.
Uh-huh.
Who did When We Were Young by Adele. And like seeing the, you know, sounded great, and he does all this stuff, and he, you know, the family's backstage with Ryan Seacrest. Is it Ryan? No, Carson Daly.
Carson
I'm sorry.
Jason. Carson Daly, yeah.
Wrong show. And they're just sad and crying, and they're like, oh, we're so there. So you get that ratings boost because you've got the family just crying on the side, and my baby's gonna make something of himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just, it's one of those things. So
yeah.
Back to the deliberations. These fun asides, I love them.
Mm-hmm. So they happen, and this is the episode that shows you they don't mean fuck all.
Oh, of course.
They don't.
Of course.
They're just doing them to do them, going through the motions, and we get to the lip sync for your legacy and life. Yeah, which is great, and it's one of my favorite songs. Rihanna, Shut Up and Drive.
Shut Up and Drive, 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 Drive. We can only sing just a little bit because then otherwise we got to pay like ASCAP fees. And we don't got that kind of money. Patreon.com/nerdyshow.
Every little bit helps. Thank you very much. You can even designate certain dollars for Solely Flame Art. And trust me, we've got some really cool things coming down the line. Every little bit helps. I'm not lying. I'm not making this up. I'm not exaggerating. Every fucking dime that you give us goes to making this show better and making things happening for you.
And if you give us a lot of money, Oral will come to your house and personally hang out with you.
Yes. I'm not. Look, you think I'm joking.
I'm not.
If you got it, send me a ticket. Girl, I'll even take. I'll take Amtrak. Amtrak is the. I won't even ask for a sleeper car. I'll go straight coach. You don't even have to pay for incidentals. I could go to the dotted car myself. But Tatiana danced her fucking ass off.
Yes.
And that's where you beg.
Yes.
You hoof it out.
Exactly.
And you know what? For her to be on a level of Alyssa, who's a phenomenal dancer.
Yeah.
Like, you can't beat that. Like, you can't say anything against her dancing.
But I think, speaking of Alyssa's dancing, it doesn't always work for what she's doing.
No.
And this lip sync didn't work for me. The way she was dancing, and honestly, I'm telling you, if she wears that fucking wig one more time, it has to lip sync and dance and fucking pulls that shit out of her face where it looks like she's on the cover of fucking Xanadu.
Yeah.
The amount of times, and I've done drag a couple of times. I understand it. I've had wigs get all up in my face because I'm the fat kid that tries to pretend like he can dance like Alyssa Edwards up on the stage. And the wig's flying all over the place and it gets caught up in your lashes.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to pull that shit out of your face because otherwise you're not going to see nobody. But when you are a dancer, you prepare for those types of things. You pin that shit in such a way that it's not going to fly in your face like that. You do something. But she spent so much time in these lip syncs with her hands up across her face, pulling her wig away from her eyes.
You know, it's like when I'm at the club, especially at Parliament during the summer where it gets really hot and the AC goes out, but they don't want to close down because they need the revenue. Mm-hmm. So they just open all the doors, but the heat rises and then the walls of the disco are just slick with sweat. And you're just in there, and I do this dance move, and it's kind of like I do that pop that Tatiana did, but I flatten out my palms, and I fan myself back up, up, down, break it down. You know, listeners, if you could see this, Pat knows, I just, and you pick that bitch up, and it looks like you joking, but really, you're trying to fan yourself.
But you were expending four times the amount of energy, which is just making you even hotter.
Exactly.
But it looks cute. In,
who cares?
It at least looks cute on the dance floor.
So Tatiana wins, as she should.
Yes.
Then Alyssa wins, as she should. No.
Nope.
They split the $10,000 two ways because they only got so many of these slices to go around.
Exactly. This is the entire budget for Untucked divided up amongst the episodes for All Stars.
Yep. So Tatiana pulls out her lipstick.
Well, before we get to the reveal, Rue says that they both win. Mm-hmm. So they get the opportunity to eliminate one of the bottom queens. So we thought this was going to be, okay, you win. You send somebody home, you're taking their place in the competition. Mm-hmm. Now two of them win. So now if they decide on the same person, they send one girl home and the two of them remain. But the twist no one saw coming was that if they both picked different girls, we get a double elimination and a double return.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened, Oral?
So Tatiana picks Fifi, which I can understand because Tatiana hasn't been there to see all of what Fifi has done.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so be it. I'm disappointed. But then Alyssa fixes her hooves to pull out the lipstick that also says Fifi. And then Fifi gets sent home because she got what? Railroaded. Which is some bullshit because we all know Roxy deserved to go home.
Yeah.
She was awful.
Yeah.
And this is nothing against Roxy, because I like Roxy, but she was awful.
Yep.
And so, you know what? Fifi was gracious when she left. She said thank you. She waved. She put a smile on her face. And then Alyssa tried to hug her, and she sidestepped that hoe.
But this is the thing. She did not try to hug her. If you watch the video over, Alyssa has both hands on the lipstick, handing it to her.
Oh, really? I didn't catch that. Oh no, fuck that hoe.
Oh, because what they've made a quote unquote tradition of is giving them the lipstick when they eliminate somebody.
Oh yeah.
So if you watch back, Alyssa's handing her the lipstick with both hands on it, not like arms stretched out, because then I would think, oh, okay, you're trying to hug me, which then it makes you look like a bitch if you're like, no, I'm good. And then she goes back and she hugs everybody else. And then Tatiana scampers to the back and is like, I want to give you a hug. Mm. And she's like, oh, yeah, no, sure, for sure. And then Alyssa goes, I was going to try to give you a hug. Bitch, no, you weren't.
And I'm going to hug you.
I'm going to get a lot of heat for talking shit about Alyssa. But honestly, watch the tape back. It just doesn't work that way.
Back into the left, apparently. Mm. Back into the left.
Mm.
So
we get two queens back in the competition, and we lose one.
You know, I don't understand why Logo and Drag Race and World Wonder act so broke when they're paying all these stable fees to keep Alyssa in Salt Licks and Oats.
Alyssa, your $100,000 prize comes in Oats and Salt Licks.
I just, but hey, drama's back. It's what we all wanted for Drag Race.
Yep.
I'm excited to see this week's episode because why the fuck not? Tatiana's back. I'm rooting for her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rooting for Alaska. I'm hoping that Roxy can redeem herself because that was just pitiful. It was just pitiful.
Exactly. So it's now back to six, and we'll see how this whole thing shakes out in the next couple of episodes.
I'm seeing a double elimination coming up because, you know, they ain't got it in the schedule. It ain't in the budget.
I will laugh my ass off if next week they do a double elimination and they eliminate Tatiana and Alyssa, because then I'll be like, what the fuck was last week for?
Nothing. Whole lot of nothing.
It'll be interesting to see.
So with that, everyone, we will be back next week for another recap.
Yes.
Things might get a little hinky after that because we're going to be doing some traveling, but big things are coming. This is going to be so cool.
We'll make this work. Mm-hmm. We'll make this work. Our fans, our adoring fans out there, I got a message from Steve Mori, who was saying that he loves these recaps.
And don't think I don't see your likes. Thank you, hon.
And saying that we need to keep this going through season 9. And I said, ha ha, no.
You can follow us on iTunes. Please rate and review us.
Yeah, yes.
You can find us on Facebook, at Flame on Facebook. It's a page. We're on Twitter, at Flame On Podcast. We are also, well, me, you can find me on Stupid Popcast Weekly because I'm still doing that, and that's awesome. I am also doing comic book reviews on scifipulse.net because .nets are still cool. So if you want more like comic book related stuff, and it's just solely like my streamlined opinion because I am a critic now, and therefore I have prestige. You could totally go there. So please do. Remember to go to Patreon.
Are you done with all of your plugs?
I'm plugging for all of us, ho. We got to keep these lights on.
Oh, they're off. You're doing a horrible job then, Oral.
Well, you know.
It's Florida in the top. We got to keep the lights off during the day.
So the Patreon, you can totally support the Nerdy Show Network across the board. We all appreciate it. And you can also just support us, just saying.
Oh, and Oral, don't forget, we'll also be doing Flame On Presents Fan Feud at Rock Bar in New York City. Ooh. As part of New York Comic Con Presents. It used to be called Super Week. It's not anymore. But that's going to be on Tuesday, October 4th from 8 to 9:30 p.m. So come on and check us out. We have a couple of amazing guests that are going to be joining us. We just announced them on Facebook. So if you missed it, go and check out that event page. But we have former Flame On contributor / host Joshua Q is coming back. He's going to be joining us. We also have Bill Zanowitz.
That sounded really bitter. I'm going to need you to edit that part out.
No, I'm saying it. Bill Zanowitz and Chris Cummins will be joining us. They have a show on Thursday night at Rock Bar as part of New York Comic Con Presents. And Chris is also running the Doctor Who event at the Way Station, which is the bar in Brooklyn that has a TARDIS bathroom.
Ooh!
Which is always fun. On top of that, we are also bringing in Ariel Italic, who is the Brooklyn-based queen.
Saw that. So jealous.
Yes. I've talked about Ariel's reviews of the Drag Race episodes many times before. Used to do reviews for Geeks Out, has done it for Queerty, and now does her own blog thing. And I am super, super excited. Ophira Eisenberg is going to be our big main attraction special guest, at least in my eyes, because she is so awesome. Mm-hmm. If you don't know her, she's the host of NPR's Ask Me Another. So they will all be there. We're going to do some little interviews with some of them. We're going to do some games. And it may actually be live streamed.
Ooh.
So if you're not in the New York area, you may still be able to get to see it. If you are in the New York area, please come on down. There's a $5 suggested donation at the door. 100% of the proceeds from this event are being donated to the One Orlando Fund. So you're paying $5 to get in, but it's going to a good cause. So make sure you check that out.
Girl, we are busy. We are busy here at Flame On Industries.
I love it.
And with that, later, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, presented by The Nerdy Show. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. And yes, I use Google Play. Flame On was created by me, Brian Pittard, and engineered by Pat O'Rourke. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head over to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Flame on all of your favorite social networks. Follow us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast, and it's Flame On Show on Facebook and Tumblr. And we're also on a couple of those gay hookup sites, so keep your eyes open. If it's gay and geeky, we've got you covered.